The scripture for today comes from Psalm 97. I want to read the whole psalm to you. I'm going to ask you to to listen as I read it, and I want you to see what it says about God's glory. So listen to this. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in images, worship him, you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. There's one thing I know from looking at this world and looking at the news. They need to gather a concept of who this God is that I've been reading about. They need to see this God in a deeper way, and they need to understand this God in a way that brings them into a relationship with God. It amazes me that people can't just look around and see how great God is. Ever since I was about 9 or 10, I've been in the outdoors quite a bit. As a teenager, I was in the outdoors one weekend every month. We went camping somewhere. It did not matter what the weather was. We went anyway. And being in the midst of the outdoors and seeing what's there and the delight in what goes on and what happens there shows me how great God is. And this psalmist believes that same thing. This psalmist believes that God rules as Lord, and all creation knows and gives praises to God. You see, all of creation knows that. My favorite place around here to go is the New River State Park. Fairly flat path for the most part. Place where I can run and I can bike and I can hike and don't have to climb up and down hills. But one of the things I truly enjoy is getting out there and seeing and hearing the creation. I know if you were to go now, the river would be high. It's going to be a little muddy. But you're going to be able to hear creation in profound ways, giving glory to God and praising God for who God is. Whether it's in the trees or whether it's in the birds, whether it's in the insects, some that we like and some that we don't. It's incredible to see how it all works together. And how could all of that work together without something to design that and to create it so that it can work together? Supporting one another, encouraging one another, helping one another. It's an incredible thing. And that's why I've always enjoyed being in the outdoors. Because I can see something happening in the outdoors that tells me how great God is. And how does all that stuff keep in order and keep going without a God? I don't know how people don't believe in that. It's hard for me to understand that. It's hard for me to see that when I know that creation knows about God. And it sings out about God at every opportunity. Thunder and lightning. I remember where we moved here from in South Hill in Mecklenburg County. I never learned about this as a young child, but many people there taught me this. When the thunderstorm comes, you've got to come inside and you got to sit down, because all that sound means is that God is at work and you can't disturb him. And I never knew that that's what thunderstorms meant. That God's at work and that I've got to come in and sit down and be quiet. I've never believed that. Because God's at work all the time, keeping all of it together and all of it right and all of it straight. And God does rule as Lord. Now, I wish I could answer the question of why does God allow some things to happen that are not good. And I can't answer that question. It's not something I know. It's not something I understand. It's not really something that Scripture talks about. We wish that it did. But Scripture does tell me that God is Lord. And there is no other Lord. Creation allows me to see and to know God's glory. How can you sit outside and not notice that? I've watched birds from a young age. I can tell you about birds upside down, backwards, sideways. I can't tell you their Latin names. I thought I'd take an easy college course when I was in college and take ornithology, because I know my birds. And they wanted us to know the Latin name for every bird there is and know how to spell it. If you've never seen the Latin names for some birds, it's not like heron, it's not like bluebird. They're very difficult and they're very hard. And I just barely got through that course, even though I could identify every bird they set in front of me. But to look at how all that works together, creation allows me to see the incredible glory of God. The problem is that sometimes we don't slow down long enough to notice it. We get so busy about doing things. And one of the things I like about reading the Psalms is the psalmist were able to sit down and be still for a while. And they were able to notice what they saw around them. And they were be able to see how that supports, how that encourages, how that helps us. I still remember the day that Friday afternoons when I was in seminary, I would normally take all of Friday afternoon off, no studies, and I would stay in Richmond. We lived 30 minutes from there. I would stay in Richmond and just find a place to sit down and be still, not work on any homework, not work on any church work, for at least half a day. I can remember one time sitting on campus and watching this gray squirrel. And watching it run from place to place. It had nothing, but it would run to a place and it would dig a little hole. And it would run to another place and dig a little hole. It never went back to a hole that it dug. And it would run to another place and it would run to another place. And I sat there and I said, "What is this? How silly you are. You're accomplishing nothing. You're digging holes. You're not digging anything up. You're not burying anything. You're not accomplishing anything. You're wasting energy." And right through the midst of creation, God says, "Tim, Don't you do the same thing? Don't you run from place to place and do this and do that and never really fully accomplish anything? God taught me through the creation that God designed an incredible message that I have forever remembered, because that was 30 some odd years ago or 20 some odd years ago. When I watched that squirrel do something what I thought was totally useless and laughed at it, God's creation shows me who God is. It shows me and it helps me to understand. It helps me to see what God's asking me to see. And when those who see God's glory reflected through creation, when we see that, we realize everything else that we elevate is making it an idol. Everything else that we elevate is making it an idol. When we recognize what God's trying to show us and we see God's glory in creation, it just shows us God is the one who is Lord. God is the one. There is no other. I know many people in this world believe that there's a truth that's true for me, but not for everybody else. Well, this truth about God being our Lord is true for everyone, whether they recognize it or not. But when we recognize it, we realize elevating anything else is making it an idol, because God is not top of the list. And it doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's something that's in the created world outside, whether it's something that we've put together, whether it's an organization or an institution, whether it's our work, our family, our hobby, whatever it is, if we're lifting that higher than God, we have made an idol. And unfortunately, too many people are doing that. And sometimes people are doing that just with an idea. This idea is more supreme than any other, and you have to believe this idea, or I won't stand with you. When we do that, we're raising something above God. We need to be very careful about that. Now, here's the exciting thing about this, though. God is Lord. Creation shows us the glory of God over and over again. Creation demonstrates what God wants us to understand and what God wants us to know. If we will make a full commitment to abide fully and daily within God's kingdom, that brings God's deliverance and protection. If we will make a full commitment to live, okay, daily, not weekly, daily, every moment of every day, if we make that decision to live within God's kingdom, this psalmist says that God will bring protection and that God will bring deliverance. Is that what you want from what's going on around you? See, everything that's going on around me, it could cause me to be fearful of not getting involved in the world. Because the way it seems right now, I don't know where I could go to be safe. Correct? It seems almost anywhere something has been happening here lately that we see in the news. No matter where it is, no matter what's going on. And it's happening over and over, and it feels like it's happening more abundantly. But if I know that I'm living within the midst of God's kingdom, this psalmist says that God will bring me deliverance and God will bring me protection. giving me an assurance that I can get out in the midst of the world and interact then and be part of what's going on and share the very love of God. There's one word that I very specifically chose in this statement, and that word is abide. And the reason I chose that word is it means an ongoing, continuing. It doesn't mean a visit for the weekend. It doesn't mean that I'm going to come and be part of God's kingdom when it's convenient for me. It means that I'm going to be there abiding. I'm going to stay. I'm going to put my whole self into this. It does not mean camping for the weekend. It doesn't mean coming and putting your 2 hours in at church on Sunday. It doesn't mean that. To abide in God's kingdom means that when I get up in the morning and start to become aware of what God wants me to be about and what God wants me to do, that I make the decision that I'm going to be part of it. And then I'm going to make the tough choices that need to be made so that I can be in God's kingdom. It means obeying the scriptures, which goes back to what I've been trying to teach on Sunday mornings and principles of faith. We got to know the scriptures. How can you obey them if you don't know them? So many people throughout my whole ministry have told me they're too hard to understand. Well, how many times have you picked it up and tried to read it? Because I have found as I read a little piece each day, it becomes more and more understandable. Are there passages that I still don't understand? Yes. The Word of God is shallow enough that nobody will drown in it. But it is deep enough that you will never get to the bottom of it. Did you hear that word? Never. There is always deeper to go. There is always more to learn. There's always more to understand. And you need to do that if you're going to abide in God's kingdom. I know somebody might be willing to come and say, well, sometimes it's good to be ignorant about things. Because if I don't know that's what I'm supposed to be doing, then I can't be blamed. That's not true with God's Word. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says the Word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may be able to obey it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. You've been in church and you've heard the Word of God. The Word is very near you. You know of it. I'm trying to help you take a step to know it better, so that you truly can abide. Because abide is a decision I need to make every moment of every day. It's not something that I make once and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I come down the aisle and I join the church and I get baptized. That's not abiding. That's starting the abiding process. That's the very beginning of it. That's the very front end of it. Abiding means that I want to be a disciple. Abiding means that I want to grow as a disciple. Abiding means that I will take risk and I will take chances. Abiding means that when I hear God say something, I will participate. Does it mean that God will always keep you out of dangerous situations? No. I have found out later that sometimes I walked into some very dangerous situations to help people. And I found out later that it possibly could have cost me my life with what was happening and what was going on. Did God protect me? In that case, yes. Did it help people grow to be people that could abide in the kingdom of God? Yes. Did it help me to trust God more? Because I found out the incredible protection that God put on me in that moment. Yes. Are you abiding? Or are you just camping out every once in a while? And having a weekend where I'm going to camp out with God, and that's okay. Because the rest of this week I'll redeem my time and do what I want. Or are you being part of what God wants you to be part of? That's abiding. And that's why I very specifically chose, when we make a commitment to abide fully and daily within God's kingdom, that brings God's deliverance and protection. Is that what you want? There's another thing that this abiding with God also brings. And if somehow I could light a fire about this, I would. This abiding with God and recognizing God as Lord also brings guidance and joy for the spiritual journey. Joy. Did you hear me? Joy. Don't sit there right now like you're attending a funeral. Joy. Do you know how many times I preach and it looks like I'm preaching a funeral? If God brings protection, and God brings deliverance, and God says, I'm going to bring you guidance, I promise that. If you'll make a deep and a full commitment to abide with me, I will bring you guidance. Shouldn't that bring incredible joy into our lives? I know sometimes some of you people kind of wonder, did Jerry and I even like each other? Because we're constantly picking on each other. We're constantly making jokes on each other. We're constantly, both Jerry and I have a very deep understanding that God knows how to laugh. Amen, brother, right? And as beautiful as you and I are, we know God laughs, don't we? Yeah. If you didn't hear what he said, I can look in the mirror and know that God has a sense of humor. Shouldn't that be how our life is? If God's given us deliverance, God's given us protection, God says, I'm going to give you guidance, shouldn't there be some joy and excitement about that? Now, some of you are still sitting there. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. You're afraid to be excited. You're afraid to be joyous. You're afraid to be happy. Why? If God cares for you that much, if God says, if you will make a full and a deep commitment to me, I will protect you. I will deliver you from the wicked. I will bring you guidance. Therefore, you can have... Okay, a couple of you got it. Come on, help me out preaching here. Okay? I love going to churches where they help me to preach. If God's going to do all those things, why can't we be excited about it? And if we were excited about it, wouldn't people be busting down the doors to go, I want that kind of excitement. How did you get it? You're happy. You're excited. You're joyous. Bad things have happened and you're still happy. How are we missing out on this? And what can we do to change it? Because listen to these verses. Verse 10, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, for you are righteous, and praise his holy name. Thank you, Alan. One person's got it. He's going to help me now. Thank you. Come on, Alan. Preach it, brother. We got to be excited about this, don't we? We got to be excited about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. We shouldn't look like we're attending a funeral every day. And sometimes, I'm going to let you know quite seriously, sometimes that's what I see when I look out here. I'm like, is this a funeral today? And the casket just didn't show up? Folks, we need to be excited about our faith. Because if you're making a full commitment to God, there is no reason not to be excited. Does it keep away all dangers and harms and fears and trouble? No. But you know what? You can't take my birthday away. You can't take my salvation away. You can't take away my relationship with God. And you cannot take away what Jesus Christ has done for me. And when you can't take those things away from me, isn't that an exciting time? Isn't that an exciting time? Shouldn't we live that way? Thank you, Addie. Come on. Addie's getting it. I mean, shouldn't we live like we're excited about our faith? Yeah, I know. There are things that bring us down. But the overarching thing is, because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, one day, when I cross over the threshold of death, one day, I will meet my Savior face to face. And I'll be willing to bet you it's not going to look like I'm attending a funeral when I see him. You're going to wonder, is he still a kid? Because I am going to be so overwhelmed to be able to see my Savior face to face and say thank you for what you did for me. Thank you for the way you watched over my life. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for protection. Thank you for guidance. And thank you for giving me a way to have joy in my life. Amen? Amen. Okay, you're waking up now. We got another hour to go. You're waking up. Sometimes I just want to say, when you get it, we'll leave. And you'll probably say, when you're done, close the door and turn the lights out and lock it. Folks, we need to be excited about it. This is what the psalmist is talking about. Be excited about it. Be overjoyed about it. And when the world sees that, they'll want what you got. They will want what you got. That's what brought me to Jesus Christ. Three guys that were overjoyed about everything that happened in their life, even if it was a D or an F on an exam, they were still overjoyed. Just over and above and beyond. I don't think they were Pentecostal, Jerry, but they were over and above and beyond. And I kept watching them and I kept going, that's what I'm missing. That's what I want. Where did they get it? I learned. Will you let creation show you? Will you be able to see the glory of God? I want to leave you with this question. Is your life one of daily abiding with God? Very simple question. Very simple answer. Yes or no? Is your life one of a daily abiding with God? If it is, how will you let other people see it on your face? If it's not, what change are you going to make today? What change are you going to make today to daily abide with God? I shared with you the incredible promises of what happens if you do. And that's just from one scripture. If you got time, we could do the rest of the Bible today. Or you could trust me, and you could just make one change today. To make it more about daily abiding with God. Let's pray. Lord, this is a tough world to live in. We have so many things that pull us in so many directions. We have so many things that it makes it very hard to make decisions sometimes. Lord, help us. Guide us. Instruct us. That we might be willing to make that daily, deep, rich, firm commitment to live right in the center of your kingdom, not to play in the edge of the light and step back and forth when we feel comfortable, not to be in our own comfort zones, but to be right in the middle of your kingdom so that we might know protection, deliverance, guidance, and most of all, that we might know joy for living in this world. Guide us, direct us, inspire us, that we might walk out into this world and infect it with your love and your joy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.